Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. Bonus So Money, my interview with John Bankin, President of Wealth Management at Citizens Bank.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You're listening to So Money. Welcome, everyone. All right, I don't normally post on Thursdays, as you know, but this is a very special bonus episode on the heels of my new exciting partnership with Citizens Bank. I know I don't normally publish on this day, but it just couldn't wait. Now, just so you know, earlier this fall, Citizens Investment Services introduced a new digital investment advisory platform called Specify. And I'm really honored they've invited me to join them on their campaign to educate people about retirement and the importance of investing for the future, which I know is very important to all of us listening. And you know, I'm always for ways to making investing simple and efficient. And on this show, we often talk about the value of digital investment platforms. But, you know, call me old-fashioned. I also believe that it can be useful to work with real licensed professionals to help us to guide our investment planning. And the great news is Specify delivers both of these services in one robust platform. And so it's one of the reasons I'm super proud to team up with the folks at Citizens and Specify. And to be honest, the other reason is I'm a New England girl, as some of you know, and Citizens, for those of you who aren't familiar, is one of the oldest and largest financial institutions. Their headquarters are in Providence, Rhode Island, which I used to go to all the time as a kid. We had friends in Rhode Island, just an hour away from Worcester, where I was born. So saw Citizens all the time growing up. It was our neighborhood bank, and I feel like this partnership has been a great way to come full circle. So Joining me now to discuss more about the ways we can all leverage investing for our goals and how Specify can help investors is John Bankin. He is the president of wealth management at Citizens Bank. John, welcome to So Money.
Good morning, Farnoosh. It's great to talk to you.
Are you, do you go on podcasts a lot or am I your first podcast?
You are my first podcast.
So. All right.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully this will encourage you to go on the podcast circuit. I think Specify is incredible. It's great. It's timely. And I want to learn also about you as a veteran in this financial services industry. You know, you have more than 30 years of wealth management experience, also investment management, banking experience. And so, John, you've seen a real evolution, I think, regarding how we all bank and how we invest. How would you, let's start with this. How would you characterize the financial world that we live in today, specifically in terms of how we're all going about investing our money?
Yeah, so I guess I would say, Farnoosh, the way I would categorize it is complex. You know, we have many, many solutions that can help our clients reach their goals, whether it's loans, deposits, or investments. But I think the challenge is understanding what's the best solution specifically for you and your very specific needs. So I think really that what our clients are looking for is value, simplicity, transparency, and advice. And I think all those things they value very, very highly. You asked specifically about investments, and I think investing, you know, has changed pretty dramatically since the financial crisis. I think, you know, you might say our society has changed pretty substantially since the financial crisis. But I think today what investors want to do is participate much more actively in selecting the investments that they believe are right for them. They're much less likely to delegate managing investments to someone else. They want to be part of the process. They want to ask questions. They want to do their own research. They want to understand the risk-return trade-offs that they're making. They want to understand how much things cost because I think they very much understand that cost can have a substantial impact in what they're doing. So it's the world is a little bit more complex than it was.
It is, but you're totally right. I mean, we want to be connected. We want transparency. I think also we want to simplify the process and by that also say a process that saves us time. And so it makes sense that technology can serve a lot of those needs. Yet I read that still about half of Americans are not investing their money in the stock market. And there, I think, are a lot of reasons for that. But I do think that technology could help, right? Can't it help us get closer to maybe more than a majority are investing?
Yeah, no, I think technology can help, as you suggested, and it's one of the common mistakes I think that that people make is that they have too much money in cash. And, you know, just to illustrate sort of the impact of that today, as you well know, interest rates are at best maybe 1% on deposits and cash that people are holding. But if you look at the equity markets, whether it's the U.S. or global markets, developing countries, they're today probably up more than 10% on a year-over-year basis. Here in the United States, the S&P is up probably 14% or so. And that doesn't happen every year. But I think over time, it's generally safe to say that equity markets are going to generally produce higher returns than cash. And so I think having a balanced, diversified portfolio is very, very important to saving for the future. And that means having a little bit of stocks, a little bit of bonds, and some cash in your portfolio. So that's the strategy. Technology at the same time, I think, can be a great tool for helping to achieve that. And so Specify and other you know, similarly other digital advisory platforms help do the same things by establishing a very specific plan or what we call an asset allocation for you, for your very specific goals, what that should look like. And then how do you ensure that you stay on the path to accomplishing that in the future? And so you know, doing those things, having the right level, having a diversified portfolio, and having the right level of equity for the goals that you're trying to achieve is really important to your financial health.
Sure. But then, you know, at the end of the day, we're human and we have emotions. And as you know, we make irrational choices with money, often tied to our fears, our feeling of overwhelm or confusion or lack of education. And so I think that maybe an aspect of this is also that people aren't investing because they're just worried about the unknown. You know, there are risks to investing. They're worried about making mistakes or perhaps they're thinking, you know, it's just too good to be true. Like it's just right now where the Dow, I mean, it has hit record levels and historically record levels. It's almost like we're worried that how long can this last, right? And so what's your advice for somebody who has that mentality and as a result is keeping their money for all intents and purposes under the mattress?
Yeah, well, I think it's a great question. I think there's a couple reasons I believe that people do that. And first is, I think people are a little bit overwhelmed with where to begin in building a portfolio, constructing it in the right sort of way. And then the second thing is, having the time and investing the time to make sure that the portfolio is done in the right way. And I think we think as Citizens, that's one of the reasons that Specify is such a great tool for people who want to manage their money in a thoughtful way, who want to stay on track and build for the future, and who want to be efficient with both their time and their money. So we think it's a great tool for them. And that's because, you know, when you specify, people can define their goals, develop a plan, open account, fund an account, all within between 5 and 7 minutes. And that's a pretty remarkable digital process that could actually lead you through that process in that period of time. But what, and you made this point earlier, and I was pleased to hear it, but what we're finding is that clients who start the digital process often want to talk to a person, to a human, as they're going through the process. And so one of the things that's unique and I think special about Specify is that we offer an opportunity to literally pick up the phone while you're going through the application online and speak with a financial advisor or set up a future appointment, which you can do. There's a calendaring tool right built into the platform. You can do live chat. You can send email. You can even go into a branch and talk to a local branch colleague about the service itself. So it's really all about how clients want to interact with us. But I think at the end of the day, Specify is a great tool for helping people get started with the process.
Yeah, it's definitely a differentiator. I've interviewed a lot of founders who run automated platforms. I'm familiar with the market, and this is definitely a great move, I think, to be able to offer this hybrid of services. Because while, yes, we live in the digital world, money is very, it's a high touch thing, right? You want to feel like you have at least some hand holding. And maybe not everybody needs this, but certainly I think people who are new to the investing world or people who are just too busy and they feel like, you know, the more eyeballs are better than just one pair on their money, that they can actually go in and ask somebody questions. It helps you sleep better at night. And I'd love to go into some of the other, you know, sort of the other aspects of Specify. You mentioned obviously this incredible opportunity to work with financial advisors in tandem with having this automated experience. There's integrated banking and investing. So I understand Specify is integrated with Citizens Bank Online, which lets customers follow and manage their bank and investment accounts. And this is including investments held at other institutions, which is really cool because that's pretty nice of you to allow you to do that, right? You can see some of your other investments elsewhere or your other accounts while you're on your homepage. And it's all through a single platform. So that's a great way to streamline. Again, we were talking about efficiency and simplicity. This is great.
Well, it's. I think this digital investing is a new way of investing, and I think we're all trying to learn, Farnoosh, what's the most valuable. How do you do that in a way that's most valuable for our clients? Citizens, as you know, is one of the first banks to be able to offer a platform like this. There's only one or two others in the entire country. that are offering tools like this, and that's because we're sort of a digitally forward organization. But there are other people that do offer these platforms, and we tried to create something that we thought was different and candidly more powerful for our clients based on what we understand their needs and desires to be. And so, you know, a few of the things that we're focusing on there is that we believe that customers want to be able to access all aspects of their financial lives in a seamless way. They don't want to have to go to multiple places. And so we have basically woven Specify right into our Citizens online banking platform. So it allows clients to see their banking and investing accounts all in one place. And then, as you point out, not just their investment accounts that they have at Citizens today, but accounts that they have at other competitors. So in some levels, it allows Citizens to become more of a portal for accessing that kind of information, investment information from other providers right to your online banking page. So we think that's going to be important to our clients. We're seeing Specify, sort of this integration of banking and investing, we think will really help clients easily move money between their banking accounts and their investment accounts. I think we believe it'll simplify their periodic contributions or withdrawals that they may make from their investment accounts. A lot of people who are building for the future, as you know, like to do monthly contributions. So they'll literally just move money out of a checking account or a savings account into their investing account, and it'll become invested in the Specify portfolios. And it will streamline the process of doing that, as well as moving money back out, then having access through your normal banking accounts, through checks or debit cards or ATMs, to be able to access all of your funds in one place. So we think that's important. Obviously, an additional advantage is every time you sign on to Citizens online banking, you'll be able to see how your Specify account is performing. Or you'll also be able to see if the assets aren't being managed at Citizens Investment Services through Specify. You'll actually be able to see how your portfolio, perhaps held at other competitors of ours, is performing against the Specify portfolio. So we think that that's value added. All the integration of the banking and the investing all in one place, we think will make people's lives a little bit easier, which we think is important. As you point out, and we're trying to learn about this as we work through sort of these types of platforms, but some other digital platforms that are out there limit their clients to a fully digital experience. And if you want to speak to an advisor, they'll often charge you higher fees for doing this. We've not taken that approach for Specify because we do believe in customers having choice in how they interact with us. So we offer what we believe is an incredible digital experience. But as I said, if you want to talk to an advisor, either by calling or setting up an appointment, the live chat features that we offer, or speaking in a branch, you can do that. And in fact, we encourage clients to do that because we think, you know, clients understanding better how their portfolios are being constructed and then managed as they move through time is important. And then the final piece is that I would add there is we think it's Specify is very cost efficient. So we offer, as I said, that free service. So if you simply want to monitor your portfolios that are in other places and compare them to how those investments are doing to the recommendations that Specify would have made for those portfolios, we do that as a free service to clients. We think it's valuable for people to understand how their portfolios are performing. If you'd like Specify to manage the portfolio, you can do that with as little as $5,000 minimum to open an account. And then the entire Specify service is about 50 basis points, so 0.5% per year. And that's about half of what you would typically pay for a managed account at other of our providers. So we think there's a lot of distinctiveness in what we've tried to create here. And I think we'll find out as clients begin to use it how excited they are by it.
Well, I just like the idea of having only to remember one password to be able to see all my accounts in one place.
That's really important to a lot of people. Yeah, exactly.
Let's just tell it like it is, right? That's it's the little things, John.
Exactly. So, it is the little things.
It's great to have you on the show. You know, it's not every day that I get the chance to connect with someone of your caliber of experience in the financial services industry. And so I would love to ask you, like I ask all my guests, whether you're Deepak Chopra or Millionaire Next Door or Margaret Cho, I always ask these questions and everyone obliges. And so I'm very grateful, but there are so many questions. And the first question, John, is what is your personal financial philosophy, if you have one? I mean, do you have a money mantra that helps to guide your approach to money?
Yeah, I've had a money mantra for 20 years, probably more. And what it really is, I started saving. So I think saving and starting early, saving for the future and starting early in the way that you do that, and then sticking to your plan is really very valuable from a long-term perspective. But I'd also say I always balance that with it's okay to splurge a little bit once in a while. So don't sweat the small stuff is sort of my view of the world. So get on a plan, stick to it, and then enjoy it a little bit as you move throughout the years.
I like that. And I'll ask later what you splurge on. But before that, is this the mindset that you adopted as a kid that you learned growing up? Is there a story from your childhood or even your younger years, old, maybe 10 years back or 20 years back, that has shaped your beliefs around money? As we know, the way we think about everything is rooted in something, some experience. Oftentimes, we can go all the way back to childhood. So curious to know what your kind of entry into the financial world was like.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a little bit of that is a sort of a, I agree with you, but a little bit of a sort of a materialistic take on life. But I think that the fact of the matter is financial independence to me, whatever that meant at different phases of my life, has always been really important. So I literally remember as a kid, from the time I was 13 or 14 years old, I had a paper route. People don't even get papers anymore, but you know, once upon a time, delivering those papers was a great way for a 13 or 14 year old to make a little bit of money for themselves. And then I had lots of jobs throughout high school and college. The point is, I think that I didn't really want to have to ask people for things. I wanted to be financially independent. To, you know, if I wanted to buy that new album when I was a kid, or buying my first car for myself, or going away on spring break, I really wanted to be able to do that on my own. It was important to me that I had the ability to do that, and I could make those decisions without having to talk to other people about them quite as much. And so that's, I think, a little bit what shaped my view of life.
Yeah, it's so great. It's one of those lost, I don't know how many people have paper routes anymore.
I don't think
unfortunately,
they do.
my father-in-law had a paper route until he was like 19, and he's a hardworking guy. And I feel like, I mean, I think you're right. There is a strong correlation between people who have been working it from a young age, even if it's just like a lemonade stand. You don't have to, like, you know, work the grind at a young age, but just to get that familiarity with being accountable, earning that paycheck, what goes into it, I think is such a great life lesson. So I encourage parents to always, even if it's just earning money around the house somehow, can be a game changer.
I cut lawns and did stuff like that too. You know, anything to make a few bucks was good.
Yeah. When you're a kid, a few bucks goes a long way. You don't have to ask your parents for the money. I'm all for that.
Exactly.
Describe a so money moment. This is when you felt as though you had achieved real financial greatness. You had accomplished quite a bit. The financial stars aligned. Where were you? What happened?
Well, I guess, As I look back, I would say probably I bought my first house when I was 26 years old. So just a few years out of college, and I was able to buy my own house, and I felt really proud of myself. That was quite a financial milestone to do that. Now, I might say when I did that, it was a lot easier to buy a house than it is today. Houses were a lot less expensive. But that made me feel, you know, pretty good about myself.
That's great. A lot of our listeners, that's still on their to-do list. And I'm happy to say our listeners are very motivated. And so that is encouraging. I know everything's gone up in price, right? What hasn't? But it is still something that people, it's on their bucket list to become a homeowner sooner than later. So I know.
But it's important because it's not only where you live and who you are and where your family is, but it's also often a great investment for the future, right? You hold it over years and it continues to appreciate. So it's a great investment if people can do it for themselves.
Yeah, if you buy and hold, it's always a good strategy. On the flip side, is there a financial failure that you experienced that was very educational? That it doesn't have to be, you know, a foreclosure or a bankruptcy, obviously not for you, but maybe even just a financial regret or buyer's remorse on anything.
Well, I would say one of the most important financial lessons that I've learned in life, and it was a little bit painful for me, but that was to avoid concentration. So when you invest in things, diversification is always investments and life is always, I think, a really good thing. And so when the financial crisis hit back in 2008 and 2009, I had a little too much concentration in some investments that I had. And I would say, honestly, it took me a few years to dig out from that. Mm. Obviously, I was younger then, and it was, you know, I was able to accomplish that. But there's no doubt that my nest egg would be a little bit bigger today if I would have better understood the importance of diversification as I was going through that part of my life.
I think that's a very relatable story. And in some ways, I mean, no one could have really seen that happening, right? It's something that I think the takeaway there is that you just have to kind of stick with it, right? A lot of people, when markets tank, their reaction is to sell and their knee-jerk reaction is to get out of the market. But that's actually a great time to get in the market.
Exactly. And understanding that, and that's sort of, you know, saving, investing in a systematic way, like a platform like Specifier offers for people that encourages you to stay the course. If you look back at history would suggest that, you know, time will, as painful as it seems when you're going through it, things do get better.
Yeah. Now, we all have many habits, right? And hopefully saving and investing on a regular basis is one of them. But what's something that you practice, John, a financial habit that you practice on a regular basis that helps you, whether it's some sort of like mindset habit or actually a tactical thing that you do to help you with keeping your money in the right places?
Yeah. And for me, it's I'm a little bit boring being a banker by background, but I always try to live on a lot less than I actually make at any point in time. So by doing that, I'm always saving throughout my life. And I'm pretty proud of the fact that I've been able to do that, you know, I don't know about every single month, but certainly every single year throughout my life. And I think that's just a good way to live.
It's the best way to live. But like you say, sometimes it's important to splurge. And so before we wrap, we'd love to do some So Money fill in the blanks. This is when I start a sentence, you finish it. Don't overthink it. That's the fun of it. All right. So if I won the lottery tomorrow, the first thing I would do is?
I would say I would start thinking about how I could give half of it away to charities that help improve education in America. I think that's something important to do.
Yeah, that's great. Because you don't really need $600 million, right?
Or like whatever. I don't even need $200 million.
You don't even need $200 million, right? okay. Well, one thing I love to splurge my money on is...
I must confess, I eat out way too much.
Really?
Way too fiscally irresponsible.
Do you have a favorite restaurant?
Oh, I live in Boston, and so there's a lot of favorite restaurants up here. I'd get in trouble if I picked one over the other.
I hear you. Okay. One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better is?
It was, you know, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that comes to my mind there is Amazon Prime. I mean, it's changed the way I live my life.
Oh, have you been introduced to Amazon? It's Prime Now, which they'll send you something like in the next 2 hours if you really want it.
No, I haven't. I haven't tried that. Just the fact that it shows up my door next day is generally enough for me. But I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, just keep it in mind if you ever like need something last minute, batteries, or I don't know. You'll find things. I tell you, it's something that I can't. Well, I have two young children, so diapers and things like that are always. Sometimes they fall through the cracks. I forget to buy them. But Amazon Prime Now. One thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is.
You know, I can't really think of anything there. You know, I have to admit, I think my parents did a pretty good job in that area. So there's nothing that I can really think of that I would do differently, do much differently. Hmm.
Did your parents talk about money in the household? Was it something that you felt as an adult that you had a comfort level talking about because it wasn't taboo growing up?
I don't ever remember talking about money. I remember talking about, you know, sort of hard work and industrious spirit, sort of independence, whether not necessarily financial, but sort of being an independent person. Those were all things that we talked about. And I think sort of the work ethic was all part of that. But I don't remember specifically talking about money.
All right. And last but not least, I'm John Bankin. I'm so money because...
So I would say I'm so money because I would say advising people to spend as much time thinking about your financial life as you do for planning for your next vacation can make your life a whole lot better.
That is really good advice because you know what? I like planning for vacations and it takes maybe a few days. It's a week. It's so the point is, it's not like you have to do it all the time or think about it all the time, but you have to make a concerted effort.
Exactly. And people often don't spend as much time thinking about, you know, building their nest egg and sort of things that are important to them for tomorrow and the day after. So if you could just allocate a little bit of time for that, I think life can be a little bit better, at least in a financial way.
Absolutely. Before you go, John, we should mention that if listeners, if you open a specified account by the end of the year, December 31st, the monthly management fee will be waived for you for the first 3 months. And the promotional period begins on the date that you have funded the account with the minimum balance of $5,000. And then it ends after 90 calendar days. And so to qualify for this promo offer, your account must meet the minimum balance within 90 calendar days of enrollment. So to learn more, check out citizensbank.com/specify. That's S-P-E-C-I-F-I. citizensbank.com/specify. John Bankin, thank you so much. I really look forward to working with you and helping spread the good word about Specify.
Producer, it was great. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.